Don't leave because of your babies, okay? They're beautiful. We love to see them. Praise God. Amen. And welcome, Mary. Good to see you all. Good to see my friends over there. I'll be missing you. Love you guys. Love you. Amen. And we appreciate you all tonight for being in the house of the Lord. And Sunday night, we're people love to study the Word of God. And we're glad that God has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. Thank Brother Kobe for advertising that some of the messages, he has not even touched half of the messages. I have series on the order of Melchizedek for probably close to, what, maybe 50 CDs? And the order of Melchizedek. At least, I don't even know, Prisoners of Hope, Resurrection, you name it. I don't even remember. Abolishing of debt. Abolishing of, and now we are in Psalms, the 23rd chapter. Can you imagine? We are now is it 16 or so CDs? That's 16 hours in this little book or this little chapter of Psalms. This word of God is wonderful. Then after this, if the Lord lead me when I get back from Tennessee, the Lord's willing, we will go into some other things, predestination, foreknowledge, election, you name it. The churches are afraid, not all, but many churches are afraid to mention it because the people, some of the people, don't understand. And it's because they're not taught. But once you begin to understand and see how great God is, because predestination put God where he belongs, his greatness and his glory. And it puts man where man belongs. Man cannot save himself. Salvation is of the Lord. And God does not need the help of man. Okay? I saw a little sign in Jamaica. It says, man without God is nothing. And God without man is still God. See, that was a beautiful sign. So you don't help God. Amen. You surrender to the Lord. Okay? You're not helping God in salvation. Because Jesus paid it all. Jesus accomplished all our salvation. We submit to the Lord. We acknowledge the greatness of God. And we will go into those things because Paul mentioned, Peter mentioned that our beloved brother Paul in the 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, our beloved brother Paul, how in many of his epistles, he has written things, 2 Peter chapter 3, can you find that? Many things that's hard to be understood. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse, read it. 2 Peter 3:16. Yes, this verse, I need a verse where he says that, but this part says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up. See that word stir up? Otherwise you forget it. Bring it back to your remembrance, you know. Blend the flavor of the word of God together in your mind. I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You have to remember, recall. The Holy Spirit brings back things to our remembrance. And down in, I need to get down where, verse 16. Go down there in verse 15, verse 15, 16. Next verse says, verse 15, what? Read verse 15 says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. What? What? The long-suffering. You see what salvation is? The long-suffering of our Lord. Did you help the Lord in that? Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. Did that come from you? Or is that from the Holy Spirit? So where did you help God? If the long-suffering of God, of the Lord, is salvation. Look at that. The long-suffering of the Lord, our Lord, is salvation. And the long-suffering is, Galatians 5, is a fruit, isn't it?
Yes.
The one of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering.
Yes.
So where did man help God with long-suffering, in long-suffering? Yes. Oh, did God do it all by himself? It's God. And the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. See, Paul was the main one that dealt with foreknowledge, predestinations. He dealt with all these elections, showing, and this is to show the greatness of God and how God has the right to elect, to save, because he's God. And he knows his people. My sheep knows my voice. Notice how he said, my sheep knows my voice. And what happened to Mary when Mary went to the sepulcher with Jesus? And she was seeking her Lord, right? Remember? And she thought that he was a gardener. When she saw the Lord, she didn't know. But when the Lord called her name, Jesus said, my sheep knows my voice, and they follow me. My sheep knows my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. See, when you follow the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want of eternal life. My sheep knows my voice, and I give unto them eternal life because they follow me. And where do we follow him? Psalms 23 tells us that. So when Mary was asking the gardener for if he had seen her Lord, and he should tell her, because she was ready to go and take him away. And then what did he do? Tell me, what did he do, what Jesus did? He just called her name. And John 10 tells us, my sheep knows my voice, right? My voice. And I know them by name. I call them by name. And there was an instance where he called Mary, and he said, Mary, that's how he's going to do you. He called you by name. And when he called you by name, you know the voice of the shepherd. And no doubt you're here tonight because your name has been called. No doubt you're sitting right here tonight because there's something went in your spirit and called you. Angie. Anita. That's all Jesus has to do. Is to call you by your name. And you follow. See, you know the call. My sheep knows my voice. So back to 2 Peter chapter 3 says, just a little bit, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom, had given unto him, the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. Paul wrote to them. Now, verse 17 says, of 16, as also in all his epistles. Notice there, hear what we're dealing with, and we're going to deal with it in all of his epistles. So if Peter had a rough time, hard time understanding the epistles, how come you think that you're different? You know, Peter told us that. Here's what Peter said. Peter said that as also in all his epistles. Where does his epistles begin? Well, He has a lot of part in Romans. In Acts, he has a lot of part. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, going on all the way through till, I believe, Hebrews. And if Peter, that new Paul spent 14 days with Peter, and Peter had a hard time understanding the epistles of Paul. What about you and I? We need to humble ourselves. And he says that that speaking in them of these things in which are, listen, something, I say most things, it's which are some things hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable. You think because you go to a Bible school for a couple of years or even 10 years, you're smart and you know the Bible? No. If God doesn't touch you and open your minds, you'll never understand the scriptures. Well, I've been to Bible school. I don't have anything against Bible school. But that doesn't qualify you for understanding the scriptures or to be a teacher. It's not man that makes somebody a teacher. It's a call from God. Amen? He gave some apostles and he gave some pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. So back there said, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, and not only that, but unstable. They're not even grounded in what they know. The little that they know. Can you imagine? You don't know very much, and yet you're unstable in it. You see, unlearned and unstable. That's tremendous charges against us. Unlearned and unstable. See, here's somebody that doesn't know anything. They're the bottom of the class, and they take more of the day off. They miss another day. Can you see a student? They're the bottom of this class, but they think they're bright. They think they're smart. And so they take another day off from school. Unstable. You don't even know. Come on, no. You know you don't. You don't even know if they're going to be in church. And they don't know the scripture. And yet, they're the one that's going to take another day off. And they miss vital scriptures when they should be sitting down. But something inside of them tell them that, you know it. I know it. I can afford to take a day off. I don't have to go there. I already know that. I'll catch up on that. All those CDs that Brother Kobe's talking about. Man, I have time. But you're almost 70 years old. You're almost 100 years old. When are you going to catch up? When are you going to settle down? Unstable. An unstable person, you know, you don't know. You cannot put a dime worth of confidence in an unstable person. But Jesus Christ is looking for people that are rooted and grounded in the truth. So he says that they are unlearned. Look at the chart. It's up there, right? I didn't write it. It's up. Unlearned and unstable. Rest. Do you know what rest means? Twist. That means they try to explain it. They try to straighten it out, but they twist it worse. They say, come on over, have a Bible study. I don't have to go to that church. I don't have to go because I already know it. I think the Lord called me to be a teacher. Will you come over here and let me? And if you're unstable, you'll be over there. You'll be sitting there. And you cannot tell the difference because, I mean, if the blind lead the blind. Have you seen three blind mice, whatever, three blind men, whatever, giving direction? See, the same thing in the scriptures. If you're blind in the word of God, you'll never be able to show anyone the word of God. But you've got to get your eyes enlightened by the word of God. Get the knowledge of Jesus Christ. My, what a knowledge. What a knowledge that you can see. And you can be very smart in this world, but it's natural smartness. It's carnal, man, worldly smartness. Very bright. You can put an engine together. You can work the computer. But when it comes to the pages of the word of God, you're a dud. You don't understand anything. And so we need to have a knowledge of the word of God, because That's what's going to take us over in the kingdom. So here's what Peter's saying about Paul. If Peter said that about Paul, and he'd been with Jesus, what would you and I say? He said, our beloved brother Paul, this is what's going on. He said, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable twist, as they do also the other scriptures. So Peter said Paul's writing the scriptures, and people try to wrest it, to interpret it. And we've got a lot of Paul scriptures. You know the song of light. When I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down and talk to Paul. That was a beautiful song. I like that little song. I didn't write it. I didn't sing it, but I like it. And it says that, he says, as they do also the other scriptures. And what happened? You think you're going to get away because you listen to a twister? Have you ever seen a twister? You get caught in a twister? Twister doesn't spare you. You get your house blown down. And a twister, a preacher, twisting preacher, is one who doesn't know the word of God. He doesn't understand, and he tried to unravel it. He tried to explain it. And the Bible says that when you submit yourself and stay in that condition, it's for your destruction. It's up there. It's for your own destruction. That means you'll never make it in the kingdom because somebody twists you out of the word of God, out of a knowledge of God. You listen. It's important who you listen to. It's important who explain the scriptures to you. There's up there. There's up there. Peter says that some preachers are twisters. Peter says that everybody doesn't know how to straighten out like Daniel. Daniel was a dissolver of doubts. Daniel unraveled knots. Joseph interprets dreams. When the Pharaoh had a dream, he didn't know what it was. Joseph was called. And Joseph understood what it is. And he said, understanding belongs to God. So God must quicken your mind. And so Peter was warning us, says, you therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, although you know it, don't rest in that and say, I can, you know, beware lest ye also being led away with the errors of the wicked. Okay? Fall from your own steadfastness. That's sad, isn't it? And says, but grow. Somebody shout. But what? But grow. Grow in what? You're not growing in your free will. You're not growing because, well, I've got a choice and I can do it. See, you've got to understand grace is the unmerited favor of God. That means God gives you something you don't deserve. You never did and you never will. You can't work for it. It's the unmerited favor of God. Do you get that? It's something you don't deserve that God gives to you. It's called grace, mercy, and truth. Okay, so where did you help God? Where did we help God in our salvation? Now, if we were dead, you at the quicken, that means your spirit, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past we walked according to the course of this world. We walk like the children of the devil. Natural man, carnal man. So at what point did we come to a knowledge where the flesh, because if we were in the flesh, then we were not in the spirit. So at what time did the flesh become spirit? Because God is spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So at what time did the flesh become spirit, so it quickens you where you see yourself needing God and you come to help God? Or did the Bible say, unto us is given exceeding great and precious promises? Oh, I like that. Who say that? That by these we might become partakers of the divine nature of God. Something has to be given you before you can become partakers of the divine nature of God. It's not something that you earned by merits or because you're good, good, good. No, because election doesn't go because you're good or bad. It's because of the grace and the mercies of God. God never chose you because you're good. God, we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That voids out man. If you were chosen before the foundation of the world, right, that voids you out. But if you help God by your free will, you're saying that you were there with God from before the foundation of the world, helping God. No, nobody helps God in time. We submit to God and we accept the work that was already accomplished. The scripture says, known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. And he finishes all of his work before the foundation of the world. You don't understand God. See, what predestination and foreknowledge does is magnify God, is open our eyes. And that's these are some of the things that Paul saw. And he said that it was hard to explain it. Peter said, our beloved brother Paul, explaining these things, and many men, ignorant and unlearned, rest them to their own destruction. And he said, but now grow in grace. And as you grow, you'll understand, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You cannot add anything to that. Amen. Yeah, you don't want to be found among the ignorance and unlearned. So that's why we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. So we are there and we find out. I'm trying to begin to close out this series in Psalms 23. The Lord, go there quickly. The Lord is my shepherd. Look at that. And I shall not want. And we show you, my sheep hear my voice. I shall not want. This morning, we show the difference between the Laodicean church and the Philadelphian church. One put their trust in God and another put their trust in their wealth, their work, and their accomplishment. And it says that, I shall not want. He maketh me. Look at this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me in beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me where? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why does he do it? Not because of works of righteousness which we have done. See? But it's because of his righteousness. For his name's sake. That's why you're sitting here tonight. For the name's sake of the Lord. Not because of anything that you've done. But for his name's sake. Okay? He leads us for his name's sake. He leads us in the path of righteousness. Amen? And this righteousness is not our own righteousness. It's not in Romans. Where is it? 9 chapter. Is it? Let me see if I can find it. We had it the other night where the Jews, Israel, sought it by their own works, sought the righteousness of God by their own works. But the Gentiles, they sought it by faith. So the Israel was cut off because they sought what chapter, what verse? Chapter 9, go down to verse 29. 26? Okay, let me go down I need to go to 26 verse, okay? So you pick it up. Says that, and it shall come to pass, read, that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So it's not by your works or my works. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as, are you reading? As the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be save. For he will, notice, for he will finish the works and cut it short. How? How? He will finish the work and cut it short. Focus now. He will finish the work. When you cut something short, all right? Have you ever taken a shortcut? You're going somewhere, but you cut off a lot of time. You get there faster instead of taking the long road. Well, the shortcut is faith. Do you understand that? Faith. Okay, the righteousness of God. When you have the righteousness of God, true faith, that's the shortcut to glory. Amen. The shortcut to glory is through the righteousness of God, not your work, but the righteousness of God through faith. By your works, you'll never get there. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. You can try help God all you want to. It's not so. Someone said, well, what do I do? What work? Just humble yourself. Surrender. You mean just that? Humble yourself means you die to self. Okay. You present your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, when it's over, there's none of you left. I die daily. Do you get that? When you repent, you humble yourself. So, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because, look at that, a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. It's going to be a short work. That's why you don't have no time. I've got my free will. Are you going to cut it short? Eh? Are you going to cut it short? 29. Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth, our Sabbath, had left us a seed. Oh, it is powerful now. Had left us a seed. Because you need to bear in mind, because one of these days we're going to talk about the seed. The Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed. We had been as Sodom and Gomorrah and been made like unto Gomorrah. Bear in mind that seed in your mind. Okay? Because even in Genesis, it was seed. Kind. We're talking Wednesday night that cows bring forth cows. Cats bring forth cats. Okay? Human being bring forth human being. And God bring forth sons in his image. Amen. Amen. You get that now? Through the seed. He shall see his seed. Now I'll say more on that another time. But Isaiah said, that way, next verse. Third, he said, what shall we say then? Question, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. Here's that Gentile out there, not even trying, not even thinking. And before you know it, his whole direction is changed. He's on his way to glory. A short work was done. Amen. 31. But Israel, here the Gentiles, not even trying, don't know nothing. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, you know, the free will, the law of righteousness, they wouldn't follow God, they had free will. Self-righteousness. They never arrive. And the poor Gentile that believed God by faith found the shortcut. The way of righteousness. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. That generation didn't make it. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, But by their free will of works, I can do it. I can help God. But as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. That stumbling stone was Jesus Christ. Behold, I lay in Zion. Remember? That stumbling stone. Rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Do you believe? That's faith. The Gentiles believe. The Gentiles accept. The Gentiles were glad. And that's why we have the word of God among us now. It's called the times of the Gentiles. But this time is almost over. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Is that it? That's the stumbling stone. Do you believe that? So when you believe the stumbling stone, the rock of offense, and you seek it, you seek the righteousness of God, not by works, but by faith. So what are you going to do? You follow the shepherd wherever he leads, and he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. You see, you find the shortcut to glory by following the rock of offense, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is beautiful, isn't it? So, Psalm says, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Then, and go to Proverbs chapter 8 quickly. In the 8th chapter of Proverbs, and you find out, speaking about the Lord from before the foundation, it gives us an insight of the Lord before the foundation of the world. Let me go to verse 8. You follow? All the words of my mouth. Look at it. All of the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Everything. So the path of righteousness, when you begin to listen to the word of God and follow it, where will it lead you? All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than gold. Choice gold. You understand where the Laodicean church missed it? Silver, gold. That's what the church is doing today. It's money, money, money. Everything is money. You just send a preacher a gift, and you got your money coming. You want to get it? Just sow a seed. See? But what you ought to be concerned is that seed image of God. Amen. Now, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that are desired to be that may be desired are not to be compared with it. I, wisdom. And First Corinthians 1, verse 30 says, read that and we'll get back here. Because Jesus Christ is made wisdom. Read it quickly. Is made unto us, but of him, that's Jesus. Listen, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 said, but of him, read it again. But of him, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us one, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So if he's made all of that to you, right? And hold your fingers there, come back to Proverbs, but go to Romans 8, where he's our justification, he justifies us. Sanctifies us, that verse. In Romans chapter 8. Look down, what verse is it? Is it not 29? Quickly find that. In Romans 8. Verse 30. All right. No, no, notice here. Go to verse 29. Go to verse 29. Quickly. Let's read up. For whom he did foreknow. That means known before. Foreknow, right? He knew you before. Whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate. No, notice he didn't predestinate you first, but he foreknew you first. That's the difference. That's the difference. In other words, it's not just predestinate you, but he had a relationship with you. He knew your heart. Okay, foreknew goes before predestination. And a lot of people don't realize that. It's all predestination. No, foreknew, foreknowledge of you. He could say, I know that man. Uh-huh. Like Jacob. Uh-huh. Okay? He knew Jacob. So he loved Jacob. Predestination means because he knew you. Who you are. Now don't ask me to explain that because I am not God. Ask Paul who went up to the third heavens and got this mystery. But what it's saying right there that he foreknew you. Yes. And he knew who you are. Yes. And because he knew who you are, he did predestinate you to be conformed. I know that one, so I'm going to predestinate that one to be conformed to the image of my son. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be only the firstborn, because there are many others. That he might be the firstborn of the firstborn among many brethren. Not Jesus. Moreover, whom, and now we had foreknowledge. Now we get down to predestination. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also, notice what he did, justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Glorification is the end. So where did free will comes in? If he foreknew you from before the foundation of the world and predestinate you, and then he justified, and then he called, and whom he called, he justified, and then whom he justified, he glorified them. That's a continuous work without any breaking of it. It doesn't stop. So because of this, what shall I say? What shall we say then to these things? Nothing. You don't have anything to add. You don't have anything to say. All you have to say, glory be to God. You just have to say, I accept that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now you're going to have to come up and tell me who. Because it tells you everything that, let's go on a little bit further. Who can be against us? And Paul didn't just leave it by chance. He explains it so you get it. He says, he that spared not his own son, but deliver him up for us all. How shall he not with him also? There, God has the free will. Freely. You want to see free will? There it is. Freely give us all things. So you got free will to accept everything he's given you. Come on. You've got free will to accept everything that he has provided for you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? No, nothing. The love is the greatest. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are not only conquerors, but we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For, are you persuaded? Or you still need to argue with God and talk to God? You know so much. Why did he do this? Eh? Why is he violating your free will? When you know how to, when he say go to Nineveh, and you want to go to Tarshish, huh? And he let you go, but then he turn you end up in Tarshish. I mean Nineveh. That's your free will. You bought the ticket, right? He say go to Nineveh. You bought the ticket. You want to do what you want to. But don't be surprised if you end up in Nineveh. All right, do you understand that? Because Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus to persecute the saints. And what happened? He had a letter in his pocket from the high priest. But God changed his plan. And before he reached Damascus, he's asking the Lord, what will you have me to do? So when his free will, when your free will clashes with God's free will, who's going to win? Jonah end up in Nineveh. Paul end up being the chiefest of apostles. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor you, nor me, put your name in there right now. Nor things to come, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Any other creature would be husband and wife and children, grandma, grandparents, a godfather, godmother, in-laws, outlaws. Do you name it? Put anybody, law keeper, non-law keeper, free willers, predestinators, whatever you want to name it. Nobody can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nobody. So God made it so tight that you have no place to insert your work. So the Gentiles who sought it by faith was accepted. That's it, right? So let me close off in Proverbs. Go back there. I was in Proverbs, right? 8. It says that verse 11, 12. I wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty invention. The fear of the Lord is to aid evil. Then it goes down. Counsel is mine. You can read the rest for yourself. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. You begin to see who Jesus is. I love them, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Notice here, true riches. Riches and honor are with me, yea. Durable riches and righteous. And what? And what? Durable riches and righteousness. So that's the path. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. My fruit, that's Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of. He leadeth me. Am I right on? In the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then he said here, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. That, oh shout, you ought to be shouting. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill what?
Their
treasures.
Amen.
What is he going to fill it with? With all the fullness of God.
Hallelujah.
You get it?
Praise
the Lord. Possess me. In the beginning of his ways. Before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning. Or ever. The earth was. Do you understand that God did it all? God didn't leave a part for man. I said, when I come in here, man is going to help me. Because even when he took the ribs or the part out of man for to make a woman, he made sure he put the man to sleep. Because if he did not do that, if they ever get into a quarrel, you'd be telling your wife that you made her. But oh, you were asleep when she was made. You had nothing to do with it. What did God do to me? Put you to sleep. So you not interrupt. And do you know what's going on today? That's beautiful. Because when you go for surgery, most times a smart doctor will what?